Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Inside. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. After weeks of analysis and speculation, we're getting a picture that is still very much taking shape about how this midterm is shaping up, from statewide, congressional, as well as local races and measures. Patience, of course, is key. Election results can take days, in some cases weeks, to finalize. But some races have already been called, and there are bigger themes and messages beyond this single election. We're starting off with a statewide look. Cap Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon had a very, very busy night bouncing around watch parties in Sacramento and joins us with what we know so far. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
Or a continuation of yesterday for
you. Quick nap in the middle of the night.
Exactly. Okay, so Governor Newsom easily won re-election last night. That was predicted and expected. He was in downtown Sacramento. What was the governor's reaction?
So he gave some brief remarks last night. He showed up at an election night party for Proposition 1, which is the abortion rights ballot measure. Here's a bit of what he said last night.
And let me express my deep gratitude to the people of the state of California. I'm humbled. This is my third election in 4 years, and I'm deeply humbled by the results. Deeply humbled to have the privilege of extending my term as governor of the state of California. But I'm also deeply motivated and mindful of all the energy in this room, particularly the affirmative step the state of California took, the people of California took, in unambiguous terms to assert our values.
He's talking about, you know, the measure to add abortion rights to the state constitution. He also alluded to governors in other states, Florida, who were reelected, who have been moving to restrict abortion, restrict LGBTQ rights in those states. And he said that the results last night in California were clear that the state wants to go in the opposite direction. And he's ready to lead the state that way in his second term over the next 4 years. One thing he did not talk about last night are these state issues like homelessness, inflation, and gas prices. And that really struck me. He kept it very brief, just continuing to contrast California with these other states, Texas and Florida, where he's had these public feuds with the governors.
Yeah, and those are issues that Republicans really hit home on, including his challenger, Newsom's opponent, Republican State Senator Brian Daley, also in Sacramento last night. What did he have to say about the loss?
So Daley acknowledged this big gap between him and Newsom, but he did not concede the race. He said that he wanted to just wait and see where the ballots shake out. There are still probably millions of ballots left to be counted. So here's Daley last night.
Well, you know, obviously we love California. Both my wife and I are elected. I'm in the Senate. She's in the Assembly. You know, we have 92 years of the Daleys in California. We love California. And you know, a lot of our neighbors and friends are leaving. But we're committed to this state. We love this state. And, you know, met a lot of people along the way that are struggling in California. So we gave them an opportunity, a voice. Obviously, you know, it's a blue state and it's a tough state for a Republican. I have a great relationship with the legislators and I look forward to continuing to do what I've been doing for 26 years. We'll continue being and doing what we know is the right thing to do for California.
I mean, you heard him acknowledge that it's a blue state. Democratic voters do outnumber Republicans in California 2-1. So I don't think that was a surprise to Brian Daley last night.
Yeah. And touching upon Prop 1, you also hopped over to a watch party for Prop 1. And as you mentioned, that would include reproductive freedom, the right to abortion into the state constitution. I mean, this has been called and voters overwhelmingly voted yes. But you've also been following the state's response in preparing for the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, obviously became a reality, and also the aftermath all of this year. What stands out to you about this moment?
Well, this was sort of another victory for Democrats. I mean, they did not want to be in this position where they had to put this on the ballot. None of these Democrats and reproductive rights advocates were happy in June or in May when this leaked Supreme Court draft was published showing that the Supreme Court was going to overturn Roe v. Wade. And then when that decision actually came down in June, the legislature moved very quickly to pass expanded reproductive rights in California, protecting privacy, putting more money toward reproductive services, allowing for people to come in from out of state. But abortion was a big winner nationally. This Prop 1 was expected to pass in California, but voters also are, you know, appear to be approving reproductive rights ballot measures in Vermont, Kentucky, maybe Montana. So I think this did help Democrats. You know, we were talking in the last segment 15 minutes ago about how there was this huge red wave expected to help Republicans gain control of the House, maybe the Senate. But I think that Democrats are breathing a big sigh of relief and possibly seeing abortion as a factor in them being able to stave off this big red wave that was expected.
Yeah, and even though despite in California, Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1, there are some really key competitive congressional races that in California that could shape the balance of power in Congress. And one of those races you really just dug into is for the newly drawn District 3. You moderated debates for both the primary and the general. The candidates are Republican Kevin Kiley as well as Democrat Kermit Jones. This district is interesting. It doesn't have an overwhelming majority of either party registered. It's also just a massive district. Where do the results stand?
So this is an interesting race because you know, we're talking about results are very too early to call in a lot of races. They're coming in. Mail ballots come in. It takes some time to be counted. Kevin Kiley, I believe, is up this morning trying to find the actual results. But a former assembly or current assemblyman, he did not seek re-election, though, so whether he wins this race or not, he will not be in the assembly anymore. Republican facing a Navy veteran and physician, Dr. Kermit Jones. And yeah, looks like Kiley is ahead right
now.
Yeah,
and but it has not been called yet.
None of these, and that's the thing. That's the very crucial thing to keep in mind. Especially the closer the race is, probably the longer it will take to get, you know, to get a race call as these, like, every single ballot needs to be counted.
Yeah, you mentioned the state legislature briefly. There's a lot of interesting state legislative races in the state Senate and the assembly in our area. What are you watching? I mean, there's so many, obviously, like, so you're honing in on just a few. What stands out to you about the races at the state legislature?
A few things. There are very competitive legislative races all over the Sacramento area, and a couple factors for that. One is redistricting, so all of these boundaries have changed. In one race, the 7th Assembly District, that's a seat held by Ken Cooley, who's a longtime Democratic Assembly member. His district picked up that Folsom area, got a lot more conservative. He's in a dead heat right now. He's ahead by like 350 votes. And when there are potentially thousands of votes left to count, he's got to be feeling very nervous. So he's facing a Republican challenger, Josh Hoover, who's actually Kevin Kiley's chief of staff in the Assembly and on the Folsom School Board. Other races, there's two Democrat-on-Democrat races for the legislature that have turned out to be very expensive, very competitive. In the 8th Senate District, Angelique Ashby is about 2,500 votes ahead. Too close to call that
running
race.
Against Dave
running
Jones.
Against, yeah, former insurance commissioner Dave Jones. And then in the 10th Assembly District, which covers South Sacramento and Elk Grove, that was Sacramento Council member Eric Yetta, trailing by a pretty big margin, actually, against a Democrat Elk Grove Council member Stephanie Nguyen, who was backed by you know, law enforcement and got, along with Angelique Ashby, this late infusion of cash from outside groups, including oil companies. So both these races, very competitive, two Democrats and a lot of outside spending and very expensive.
Yeah, and open seats, you know, so that these
four open seats.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Which is a big deal. Getting back to propositions, we obviously talked about Prop 1, but there were a lot of others from, you know, online sports gambling, banning flavored tobacco, arts in K-12 education. When you look at the current results of statewide propositions, are there any so far that have surprised you?
I think the thing that maybe surprised me the most about the props is that all of the races were called last night. We've been talking about how in California it can take a long time for results to be counted. But we rely on the Associated Press to call races, and the Associated Press called all of these propositions last night. So as far as those results go, I think everybody saw the tea leaves with polling for the sports gambling measures and expected them both to fail. I'm stunned by the margins here.
It's huge.
And
so much money devoted to both of these propositions.
Exactly. I mean, the sports betting companies poured millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into passing Prop 27, and it's just going down in flames. I think only about 17% of voters so far voting yes on that. But it'll be back, it sounds like, in 2024. These two sides, you know, the outside companies and the California tribes who want to do sports betting at their casinos in person are going to have the next, you know, year or two to craft new, come back with new and improved, and try to make that case to voters. I think that that played a huge role in this, you know, in this election, too, is that there were just ads coming from all sides and people got confused and just voted no.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's back to the drawing board. And there are some definite learning lessons from both propositions. And 2024 is not that far away. Finally, Nicole, you obviously have a very, very busy day. You're going to be taking part in a KQED and California Newsroom statewide special that's right after Insight at 10 a.m. What are you going to be talking about?
We will be talking about all of the latest, you know, continuing to bring results, analysis, and context. I think we're going to be getting into a little bit more about the control of the U.S. House, what that could mean if Kevin McCarthy does become Speaker, which is something he, you know, has been talking a lot about and hoping for. So that will be at 10 a.m., and I think we'll have that here on Cap Radio.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you.
That's Cap Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon. Up next, we're going to have a roundtable of analysis of the midterm with Laurel Rosenhall with the LA Times, political strategist Luis Alvarado, and Paul Mitchell with the ballot tracking firm Political Data, Inc. You're listening to Inside on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.